Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our message for today comes from Matthew 14, the gospel lessons we heard, verses 13 to 21, where Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And today we're going to look at three different elements of this story. First element of the story is our focus, right? The focus of the disciples, the focus of the people, the focus of Jesus during this story. The second is that our inabilities, the things that we struggle with in life, are those things that actually help us build a better relationship with God and with Jesus. And the third part is Jesus' desire to have us be part of blessing other people. So let's start by taking a look at the situation, the context that Jesus is in and the disciples are in right now. So right before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had sent out his disciples in twos. He sent them out into the villages. They went out preaching the good news of Jesus. They were preaching for repentance. They were healing sick. They were casting out demons. So they were actively going out, and they had just come back from that great excursion and were filled with this incredible excitement about how powerful Jesus and the Holy Spirit was working through them. Then right as they were all excited about this, John the Baptist gets beheaded. And this is somebody that they knew very, very well. This was their friend. So now they're at the lowest of lows, from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. So they jump in a boat and they head west to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Now they traveling across the Sea of Galilee at night after hearing terrible news. They're taking essentially a red eye. Right? I got to do that this week. Not fun. They arrive and they are depleted. Right? They are emotionally spent. And when they arrive, they don't arrive to the desolate place that they were seeking. They arrive to crowds having seen that they were going there, and they got there ahead of them. They ran on foot to get there. They told their friends. There was no cell phones. They didn't call ahead, right? These are marathon runners. They got there. So they are arriving to crowds of people, and it says Jesus had compassion on them. Now, I don't know about you, but in that moment, my focus would have been on, let me rest. But that's not how Jesus approached the situation. Jesus had compassion on them. So it's really easy for us to imagine ourselves in this situation, showing up completely exhausted, and as they spend the entire day with these people, watching Jesus teach them, heal them, they're just done, right? Even at the end of the day, even after seeing all those wonderful things that Jesus has done for them, they're just done. And they come to Jesus and say, hey, there's no food. These people are hungry. Send them away so that they can get food. They were also probably saying, send them away because we're tired. We need some rest. In John's account of the story, it says that Jesus even tested Philip when they came and said, send these people away. And he says, where are we going to buy enough food for these people, Philip? And Philip answers, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each one of them to even get a little. Now, it doesn't say explicitly why Jesus was testing Philip, but we can see that most of the times when Jesus is testing people, he's testing one thing, and that's their focus. What is your focus? Now, let me give you a riddle to help you feel this type of test a little bit more intimately. So I want you to answer or say the last word of the sentence that I'm going to say. So David's father had three sons, Snap, Crackle, and... It's David, right? Three sons, Snap, Crackle, and it's David's father had three sons, so it has to be David. So your focus is right there. Now, it's essentially a nice little psychological trick, right? Because we're so used to hearing the sentence, especially all of us from those good old glory days of TV and Snap, Crackle, and Pop. But this riddle is essentially the same thing. When you're focused on one thing, you forget about everything else, right? And that's really what Jesus was testing here. What Jesus was asking his disciples, saying, what do you have? How can we feed them? Right? And they said, we don't have enough money, because that's where their focus was. And Jesus wanted them to get their focus off of their stuff, their lack of sufficient funds, their lack of bread, their lack of fish, and put their focus on him. The disciples really had just focused on the information at hand. 8 months worth of wages couldn't buy enough bread for anybody to have even a little bit, right? They missed something really important. They missed their focus on Jesus' love and forgiveness of those people, right? We too get, in our lives, we get focused that way. We get focused on our trials, on our tribulations, and Jesus directs this question to Philip to see if he's going to pay attention to what's missing, the money for the bread, right? Or if instead he'll stay focused on all that has just happened, that they had been doing miracles, healing people, casting out demons, that now they spent the entire day with Jesus teaching and healing people, miracles all day long. And at the end of the day, instead of continuing that process, their focus shifts to how to feed the people. Maybe, like some of us, their focus was on miracles are for the big things. Healing, casting out demons. Miracles aren't for the little things, like having dinner. That's not how Jesus sees it. So Jesus continues his teaching by showing them that their lack of ability, their lack of money, their lack of food is actually a really good thing. Because when the disciples come to Jesus and say, these people are hungry and they have nothing, and Jesus asks, how many loaves do you have? Their reply is basically, not enough. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, like, really not enough for the 15,000 plus people that would have been there. And Jesus basically says, good, I'm glad you don't have enough. Because if they had had enough, they would not have needed Jesus. Right? They would not have had a chance to see his miracle. They would not have seen that even in the most basics of needs, feeling hungry, that Jesus is ready to show his miraculous love. So where are you at in life? Are you struggling with the same thing? I know I do all the time. Right? I strive towards these goals. I feel inadequate. I feel like I don't have enough. Right? I don't have enough ability to get it done. I don't have enough time to get it done. And Jesus is asking us the same question. How many loaves do you have? And believe it or not, he's hoping that you'll say, you know, not enough. Because that puts our focus back on Jesus instead of what we have and what we're trying to do. Not enough for us is more than enough for Jesus, and our inabilities are what allow us to see Jesus' miracles take shape. So it doesn't really matter what you're struggling with, what any of us are struggling with. Jesus cares about that struggle. It doesn't matter if it's very, very small or devastatingly insurmountable. You can face the struggle head on, putting your faith in Jesus and bringing that struggle to Jesus. And when he asks you, how much do you have? You say proudly, not enough. I don't have enough. I need you. So let's see what happens, right? Jesus takes their not enough fish, not enough bread, and he creates more than enough. And when we hear this account, every time I think of these, the 2 times he feeds, right, 1 time 5,000, 1 time 4,000, I always am in awe of how in control of creation Jesus is. Right? We hear healing, and I kind of get that point. It's like, oh, he can heal anybody. But making bread, making fish appear, Maybe that seems a little harder for me, right? But that's the truth, right? He is in complete control of creation. And I think about how deep his love is for those people, right? That they have nothing. He could have sent them away hungry. He could have sent them away and given all of his disciples the rest they were craving. But he cares for both the spiritual and the physical. He doesn't give them just enough to have a bite. He gives them more than enough. Right? And it says in the Bible, when it says they were filled until they were satisfied. The word satisfied, we translate it as satisfaction into the English language, but the word that is used there in the Bible basically means so full that you're in pain. So completely full, i.e. there's food left over because they don't want it. They don't even want to put it in their bags to take it home with them. That's why it's being collected. They're that full. Okay. The other thing I think about is interesting is how Jesus involves all of us in the miracles that happen, and how Jesus involved all the people in that miracle. Like, he could have just had everybody sit down and poof, bread and fish in front of every single person. And he didn't do it that way. Why wouldn't he have done it that way? Because that would have been a momentary, wow, and then it's gone. There would have been no lasting effect of that miracle. There would have been no focus on Jesus if he'd done miracles that way. Right? What he does instead is he has it passed person to person, and he allowed his disciples to joyfully have the task of passing out all of the bread and the fish and then gathering up all the pieces afterwards. See, Jesus expects us to get involved. He could have very easily just made it all appear, but he doesn't do that, right? There's amazing joy when we get to be involved in Jesus' miracles, in sharing the good news of Jesus. When we're involved in helping others, we receive the miracle and the blessing ourselves. And that's why each of us were called. So as we see in Mark, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So we don't have to wait for miracles or a miracle moment to happen. Right? We can simply be passing out the good news of Jesus and sharing the bread. And it doesn't matter if it's a small problem we're helping with or a really big problem we're helping with. Sharing Jesus' love in those moments is what we were called to do. So there's more than enough to go around. You can gather up the pieces, right? There's always going to be more. As Isaiah says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Those people that Isaiah is talking about is us. Right? There's great joy in feeding the people. There's even greater joy in feeding their souls, proclaiming salvation through Jesus, telling them how he died for their sin, how his death gives them forgiveness, how his resurrection gives them eternal life. So Jesus wants you to be able to experience the joy of having your focus on him. He wants you to feel comfortable to bring your not enough to him. He wants you to be part of the miracle, not just an observer. Jesus taught the disciples to keep their focus on him because he is God. He's able to do anything we think impossible. So let's keep our focus on him. Let's go out and share the good news of Jesus with other people. Amen.